Everybody, and welcome to my world. How's your world doing today? Well, you're not saying anything. Well, how's your world? Mine's been rather exciting. It's amazing. Boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff's been going on, and we've got to combine a few things because we're not going to have money and change Sunday because it's Easter Sunday. So none of our shows will be on except maybe reruns. That's about it, but no live shows. So I thought I would pass that on first so everybody knows what's going on with the Trim Radio Network. And speaking of the Trim Radio Network, hey, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. You can listen to us on trimradio.com. And we have our podcast, and we broadcast all over the world, everywhere, and we have fun doing it, and hopefully you have fun listening to all of our shows, and hopefully you tell your friends about us, and so we can grow the network. We have the Bend Radio Show. So Adventure Waits Around the Bend, and that's at 9 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Central Time, and that's with Rebecca, better known as Beck Wainer. You want to check her out. Also, we've got Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, 9:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Actually, it's 9:30 a.m. Eastern and 8:30 a.m. Central. And it's the place where cattlemen come for direction. That ought to be a good one. Ranch It Up. Check it out with Tigger and Beck. Also, we've got Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas, 5:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 p.m. Central. And it's a good show. Trust me. You'll like listening to Michael. And then, of course, we have Money and Change. That's 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central Time. And there we take a look at finance and stuff that's going on. And hopefully I help you save money and prepare for things that are bound to happen. It's just a matter of time. We don't know the time, we don't know the place, but we know something is definitely going to happen with finances, and it may not be a good one. So you want to tune into Money and Change every Sunday. Well, we've also got My World on Wednesday night, and we're live. We are live. We had a problem last week. I had to have some tests taken, and we had to put on a rerun, and it was just a last-minute thing, and I didn't even get a chance to post it on the air, so I really apologize for that. But, you know, I always post at least 6 hours before we have the show, so that if you check it out on our Trim Radio Network Facebook page for My World, you'll see whether it's a live show or a encore edition, better known as a repeat, which I hate to do repeats as much as possible. Also, we have the Nixie Weekly Music Countdown. We've got Take Point 22 with Michael Bejas. We've got the Natural Marketer Podcast. And we also have Rascala's Red Pill Reality Show. And I always ask Rascala, you know, you have the red pill and the blue pill. I want the green pill because I do Money and Change. You know, I'm always looking for green. But he hasn't come up with any. I just don't know. But you can help us out by buying the merchandise on the Trim Radio Network. And we have water bottle thermoses. We've got cups. We have hoodies and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff. And the money that comes into us from the merchandise, we put back into buying station time. And we don't get paid. We just have fun doing the shows. And I've been doing My World now for, I believe, a couple of years. And I've done Money and Change for, at least 11 to 12 years on different networks. So you can always check me out every Sunday with Money and Change and on Wednesday with My World. And I have fun doing it. And hopefully I'm helping you out. Hopefully I'm lightening your day a little bit. Because you just can't go through life as a serious sourpuss. Now, hey, if you want to help us out, you can call up, text us, whatever. Let us know from our trimradio.com page. And let us know that you want to do your own show. And if you want to do that, it's very easy to do. And we will show you how you can do your own show. It could be a weekly show or it could be a daily show. You work out your schedule and get with Michael Bejas and Victoria Smith. Those are the two people that you have to get to, and they can help you out, okay? So much of a plug for the Trim Radio Network. Big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's a good NCAA Division II sports school. And the good news is the swim team placed 10th in the nation. And they had 17 people competing. I mean, this has gone. I remember when they had swimming there, but we never did competition. It was just pool time. But not anymore. And they have a very good coach and really good facilities. And so you want to check them out. But primarily, the University of Findlay is an educational institution. And they have bachelor degrees, master's degrees, doctoral degrees. And if you're in pharmacy or you're in physical therapy, or, you know, one of the schools that where you have to have a doctorate, they work with you. They're very good at what they do. And sometimes you're in a six-year program. And so you can get your bachelor's, master's, and then a doctorate from the University of Findlay. It's very well respected. They have excellent professors. They have a really, really good set of facilities. They have the hazardous materials campus. They have the equestrian campus where they do pre-veterinary as well as equestrian studies. And they also have the main campus. And it's a nice main campus. There are about 4,000 students there. And they have, it's just a nice place. I enjoyed going there. I've been to bigger schools. And I've attended bigger schools. And that's all great and swell. But when you start getting into doing things in a smaller institution, if the professor knows you and the professor knows you're messing up, they will tell you, they will call you, they will have you come in. They will spend the time with you because they want you to succeed. And that's at the University of Findlay. Also, a big note, I received a notice from Dr. Kathy Fell, who's the president of the University of Findlay. They are going to merge with Bluffton University, which is about 20 miles away. Bluffton has about 700 students, and they might carry a couple extra classes that Findlay doesn't, and Findlay would be able to expand their classwork there, and the people at Bluffton University will be able to come up to Findlay and take classes there. And that will take place, I believe, over this summer or in the 2025 academic year. So, you know, you want to check into that. www.findlay.edu. Check them out. I wouldn't recommend it if they weren't a good school. Trust me. Another one I would recommend is Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio. Very good institution. Actually, it's a good school. I hate to call them institutions. It seems like mental institution. Well, they're mental. They do a lot of good studies, too. But check them out. University of Findlay and soon to be University of Findlay and Bluffton University. They're going to keep the name of Findlay University. I'm assured of that. But what you're going to find out is you're going to have two very good schools, the same educational philosophy, and you'll enjoy them. Now, University of Findlay is Division II NCAA, and Bluffton University is Division III NCAA. So it's amazing that it'll be the same school in two different sports divisions. It'll be interesting. They're both good schools, so you want to check them out. And a big shout out to Dr. Kathy Fell, because she's the president at the University of the University of Findlay. I had Cincinnati on my mind today. I just couldn't believe. I know why. I had Cincinnati chili. That was it. I had Cincinnati chili today for dinner. It was good. Well, anyhow, you want to check out the University of Findlay and Dr. Kathy Fell. She is fantastic and a sweet person. But she has really taken the university a lot farther forward than in the past. And it's great. It's a good school. So check them out, www.findlay.edu. Check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. And you can check them out on Facebook. And Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens, I have a big shout out for Phil. Happy birthday, Phil. Because on Facebook, you get these notices of birthdays. And I imagine he got a lot of birthday wishes. Probably did. Knowing Phil, it probably curled his beard a little bit, you know? But anyhow, happy birthday, Phil. Check out the pens. They're custom pens. He will do them for colleges, universities, businesses, fraternities, sororities, high schools, junior highs, whatever. Any company that needs a presentation pen for one of their best customers or their best employee, whatever, check them out. Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. That's RustyDuck apostrophe S, Custom Pens and Blanks. Check them out. You'll be glad you did, because I know both Michael and I have those pens, and they are fantastic. A big shout out to My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. A big shout out to Money and Change, of course, 7 p.m. We will not be on this Easter Sunday, okay? And so we'll have a lot of financial stuff to go through the following Sunday. So check out our Facebook pages for both Money and Change / Financially Prepped and My World, because I will be posting things there, and their videos or stories or whatever, and you need to check them out. A big shout out to Brad and Krista, Big Family Homestead. We still don't know whether they're going to leave Wisconsin and go to Iowa, or they're just going to stay in the middle of Wisconsin on the farm. We don't know yet. We'll wait and see what happens. It's a big mystery. Deep South Homestead, check them out on YouTube with Danny and Wanda King down in Wiggins, Mississippi. Great people. I mean, really great people. And not only do they discuss growing crops and a little bit of farming, they also go into a lot of things that's happening in the world today. And they give you their aspect of it. Also, we've got Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Check Dave out. He always does a fantastic job, and he reports on the economy, what's going on. And it's reported by everyday people. And it's amazing. Then there's Ed Carswell. He's still digging around in West Virginia. He's building a root cellar. I call it a bunker. I mean, he's down about 12 feet, and he keeps digging in rock. I don't think I could take that. Too much noise with a jackhammer. but he wants to have a root cellar down there. Also, Appalachia's Homestead, check that out with Patara. Very sweet person, very good. Check that one out, Appalachia's Homestead. Then the other one is Prepper Princess. And she knows how to stretch money and make it work. And so if you're having some financial problems, she's got some great videos on what she does. And she's a self-made millionaire. Really, check her out. She lives very simply, and she does a great job. Okay, we've got to do a disclaimer, because I can't forget that. I always have to do a disclaimer. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take whatever we say with a grain of salt. And always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Take a breath. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And oh, by the way, tell your friends. We're here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Did you bring your popcorn? Did you bring something to drink? You know, I always have my filtered water through a Berkey system. No chemical aftertaste or anything. It is great. And that's one thing the doctors will tell you, drink more water. Well, if I'm going to drink water, it is going to be run through a Berkey system, B-E-R-K-E-Y. I don't get paid for saying this stuff. I'm just telling you what I do. And it's important because you have to stay hydrated. If you get dehydrated, it'll mess with you. Trust me. Well, so much stuff going on. If you go to our Facebook page for My World, I posted a video, I believe yesterday. And it was about the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. Now, if you've ever been to Baltimore, there's the harbor there. And it's big. They have a lot of shipping. Matter of fact, a lot of the shipping for the eastern United States goes in and out of there, especially for cars and other types of equipment. And it's a busy port. It really is. And they have cruise lines and everything else. Well, they had a boat, the Deli, I believe is what it was, had a problem. And it happened between 1 and 2 a.m. And they hit the main bridge in the Baltimore Harbor. And it collapsed. Boy, I saw the videos, and I have the video and some stories there on our Facebook page, so you can click on that and watch that. But I saw the boat. They said it lost power. They regained power, but it was too late, and it hit one of the bridge supports, and the whole bridge just went down. And that's sad. But what I, you know, you look at it and you say, gee, was that negligence on their part, or what was it? And, you always jump to conclusions and you can't figure out what's been going on that caused all of that. You know, there's an explosion someplace and people go off and they jump to conclusions, and you really can't do that. With any news story, you have to look at everything. And at first we thought, oh, that was maybe terrorism. And people were talking about that on the side on Facebook and other places, and they said, oh, that could be terrorism. Well, maybe, but you really have to look into everything. And as it turned out, the ship gave out a distress signal, and they were leaving port at about 1 a.m., and their power went out. And they worked on it and worked on it, and they put out a whole bunch of black smoke out of the smokestack. And the ship went totally dark. Then they got it restarted again. It was too late. The ship hit the bridge. The bridge collapsed. But what wasn't mentioned until today, This is why you never want to jump to conclusions. The ship radioed a distress message out, and the port closed the bridge. There were only six people supposedly working on the bridge when it collapsed. It was unfortunate for them. They were patching potholes on the bridge. And everybody was worried, like a ton of people would be drowned and so forth. And they know that it's six. There might be a few more from other cars. But what they did when that emergency signal came from the ship, the Port Authority shut off the traffic at either end of the bridge. Now, I don't know how many cars go across that bridge, maybe 50,000 cars a day. It's a busy bridge. It's a busy port. And I listened to a bunch of information today about it. And okay, so they radioed in that there was a problem and they were going to shut it down, which is great. And they did. And that saved a bunch of people from driving over that bridge. And that's a good thing. But then they said it didn't have any bumpers, better known as fenders. And I've been across some tall bridges. The biggest one that I was across was down in Florida, and it was the Skyway Bridge between St. Petersburg and Bradenton. And man, I'll tell you, it's you're up there, and then you look down to see ocean liners and stuff going underneath, and it's really interesting to see. And you can look out over Tampa Bay and look out over the Gulf. You're way up in the air, trust me. Well, that bridge, when it was built, they built fenders. And what these fenders are, they have the pilings and the supports, and then out from that, it's like a tear-shaped situation. And they have wooden pilings around it. And then they have either cement or crushed rock or whatever to make that bumper up. So if a ship hits it, it's deflected off and it goes out into the channel or the Gulf and does not damage the support columns. Well, the Francis Scott Key Bridge had the pilings, but I don't think they had any fenders or bumpers. And if you ever try to stop a large ship, it's very difficult to do very quickly. Matter of fact, it's impossible. So anyhow, the ship hit the bridge. Everything comes tumbling down. And being a major port like that, they have a lot of coal exports that go out. Not for a while. Cruise ships can't go out. Other types of ships can't go out. What comes into that port, there was a listing. Most of the foreign car suppliers come in through Baltimore. Foreign auto parts come in through Baltimore. It's a mess. It really is. I really feel for the people in Baltimore. I feel for the companies. They're losing a lot of money, but I also feel for the people that lost their lives there. So far, we know it's six. It's probably going to be more than that. But considering that you have 50,000 vehicles across that bridge in one day, that's not a lot. Well, what's it going to do for the city of Baltimore? There's going to be a lot of congestion there because this is the I-95 bridge that goes through Baltimore. And basically, it's coming down out of New York all the way down to Miami. And there's a lot of traffic on that bridge. Now, there's also a tunnel in Baltimore. I've been through that tunnel. And I'll tell you something. That's strange. You're going along at the level of the bay, and then all of a sudden you dip down under, and the ships are going over you. And I don't know if we're maybe 30 or 40 feet beneath the bay. And it's an interesting experience, but I wouldn't want anything hitting that tunnel because people would not survive in that tunnel. That'd be an instant drowning. Now, on that bridge, you're high up there. But when these ships veer off and they hit a lower part of the bridge where they're not supposed to be, that's a problem. There were reports that the Delhi, the ship, was a Singapore ship. And somebody that I know that was in the Navy down there said, well, they ought to have tugs to take that ship out to sea. Well, there weren't any tugs. And then what happened with the black smoke and the power going out? What caused that? See, you just can't jump to conclusions on this. They had two pilots on board that boat, according to the reports. They also had the ship captain and crew. The ship captain and crew and the pilots were not hurt. And the ship is a smaller ship. And one guy that said, this is not a really big container ship. It only holds about 15,000 tons, I think is what he said, of containers. Now, I heard somebody on WLW say that they were calling into a show and they were saying, well, that ship held 15,000 containers. No, they were wrong. See, jump to conclusions. The fact is, it only holds 15,000 tons. And these containers can be 40 feet long to 80 feet long. They're giving out all these numbers and figures. And the guy said, you know, the Delhi was basically, if you had an Amazon ship, this is a much smaller ship that they use not in emergencies, but when they have to ship things and the big boats can't take it. They're out of room. And it's much like using a rental car to deliver something. And that's the way the guy put it. And I can see his point. And then there were reports that the ship had problems before. And I'm thinking, okay, and they still had it sail. They still, maybe they didn't fix all the problems. And then there was another report just recently that the diesel fuel was bad. Well, that could cause the excessive smoke. That could cause the power to go out too on bad fuel or the wrong type of fuel. Have you ever seen the diesel engines on an ocean-going ship? They're huge. I remember going up to Cleveland to doing a training session. And I was going up I-71, and I noticed coming down I-71, there was a huge ship engine on the back of a trailer. Big diesel engine. I mean, big. And they had police escorts and everything else. It was quite a thing to see. Well, that may be a marine diesel for a river boat, but it wasn't an ocean-going ship because they're a lot larger. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, one of those engines going out, yeah, that could really cause a problem. And the ship was supposedly doing about, I believe, either 6 or 9 knots, which isn't very much for a ship. So when it hit the bridge went down, and now it's going to take probably months to clear out the wreckage and redredge the channel. And then if they're going to rebuild the bridge, then they're going to have to do an engineering assessment of it, come up with the plans and the money, and then build a bridge, which may take a couple of years. What does that do economically for the city of Baltimore and the surrounding area? Things can't move in and out. Trade cannot be completed. You have vehicles that would have gone over the bridge now has to go around Baltimore. So the streets are going to be really congested there. I-95 is going to be something you don't even want to think about traveling on. You're going to have to find alternate routes. Anything that was going to be shipped out of Baltimore can either be held up there or it can be put on a train and sent farther south to the next port. And that's going to add cost. And a lot of people were worried about the cost of that. Well, anyhow, you can check it out on our Facebook page with the Trim Radio Network with My World. It's there. And I'll have other things on money and change, too, because that's going to be a big economic burden. Really big one. And so far, according to Yahoo News, it said Baltimore Key Bridge collapse. The latest updates were basically a minute ago, which would have been basically 30 minutes ago when I posted it up for me to go over. Two bodies were recovered, and the search effort continues. And Governor Wallace Moore, or Wes Moore, said Tuesday that the crash appeared to be an accident, noting there was no credible evidence of a terrorist attack. So they're continuing to research this thing to find out. The National Transportation Board is checking things out to see what really happened. So you can't just automatically jump to conclusions as to what's going on. You know, and there are a lot of things. If you take a look at rail, there was a report on Zero Hedge, and it had a picture of the map of the Port of Baltimore linked through rail to the heart of the Midwest, and it went from there up to Detroit or over to Chicago. And the lines went up through Pittsburgh and then up to Cleveland. And then from Cleveland, it went over to Toledo, up to Detroit, or on over to Chicago. Matter of fact, that line would go through Deschler, Ohio, which has its major crossroads in Ohio. It's almost on the Indiana border, maybe about 20 miles from the Indiana border. Maybe a little bit more, but it's in that range. And the trains go through there all the time. And you can check it out on live rail cams. And just type in Deschler, D-E-S-H-L-E-R, live cam, and check it out. So there's going to be a lot of different things held up in that port. And that's going to be a mess. So look for delays and things. If things aren't coming in, as far as what we need goods wise, you better stock up on stuff now because it's going to take a while. And then, of course, I just talked about the dirty fuel in Baltimore, the wrong fuel in the ship. That's really like an oil. It's a thicker oil that they use for big diesels. And I don't know how many gallons they burn in an hour. I don't have that information. Well, anyhow, we'll get away from that. And today I got a post, and it said seniors over 55 years old should not have to pay school taxes. We do not have any children in school. Keep it going. Pass it on. And I saw that. It's on my Facebook page. And I thought, well, I'll just send it on and see what people would how people would react to it. And, you know, you're going to get some positives and negatives and so forth. Well, anyhow, I had some people immediately react to it and said, well, it's true. We've already paid, but we need decent school buildings and so forth. So it's only right that they continue the process. And somebody else came in and they said, well said, I want my grandkids and great grandkids to have a decent education. And throwing a little fuel on the fire, I thought, well, I'd just say you get it in a parochial school. And the other person that I went to school with said, I can't afford that. I know that. But it makes you think where do we need to make change in education? Are the public schools doing the job or are the parochial schools doing the job? Which one provides the better education? And then find out to the extent of the education, how are they going to be prepared for life skills? And then determine, can you make those changes in the public schools so that they do have good life changes? And I had a friend in Cincinnati, and they all went to the Cincinnati parochial schools. Primarily, it was Elder High School and Seton Hall, which was the girls' school next door. And they were very specific in their education. They expected people that come out of Xavier to be business, or not Xavier, but out of Elder, to be business people, lawyers, doctors. And it was the same thing in Seton, to be good professional people. And that was an expectation. And they all had reasonable, good education. And it was the same thing with Moeller High School in Cincinnati, or there were others. And they all stressed academic excellence. And if you were bad in a parochial school, then they kicked you out and you went to a public school. But there's nowhere in public school where they can send you if you've been bad. And you just have to look at all the things that are going on. So is the educational system in the United States that good, or do we need to make changes? And when we're paying tax money, what are we getting for the value of the money that we're paying? And I take a look at it this way. With Elder High School and a lot of the Catholic schools in Cincinnati, they have some older buildings, but they're well kept. And they really, really stress a very good education. And I think what we ought to do is see what they're doing to improve education and then model that in the public schools. Just a thought. It's like I said, we're about to ponder things. The word ponder, think about. And the more you think about it, yeah, we can make some changes to get things done. But I told people, whether or not it was Eric or Connie or Nancy, I said, actually, I passed this on because it makes you think of all the taxes you pay over time. I think someone once said we pay over 90 different types of taxes during our lifetime. And some taxes are heaped upon other taxes. Drivers pay for a driver's license. That's a tax. They pay gasoline tax. Car tags. You have to pay those every year. In some states, you can add personal property tax or a VAT, value-added tax, to that. And you pay a property tax and a school tax. It seems we're subject to double taxation sometimes. It's something to think about. It really is. I think I'm kind of feeling like Tucker Carlson right now saying this, but really, it is something to consider. And I wonder how much of your income is subject to taxation and what percentage goes directly for what we paid. It's just something to think about. Now, I'm not against taxes. But it does make you think, do we really need all those taxes? Why don't we just have a flat 10% national sales tax instead? Are we funding inefficient government just to sit around and push papers when they could be actually out working in society doing something other than shuffling papers? It's something to think about. Something to ponder. I mean, you may agree or disagree with me, but I'll tell you what, it makes you think. And you take a look at, gee, what do we pay in taxes? Well, the percentage of taxes Americans pay, and this is according to, if I quit clicking the wrong button here, the top 1% of taxpayers paid 25.4% over an average individual tax rate, which is more than 7 times higher than the taxpayers in the bottom 50%, which is 3.4%. Taxpayers reported $11.6 trillion in adjusted gross income, or AGI, on 144.3 million tax returns. And that came from the taxfoundation.org. Then how many people owe no federal income tax? Well, at the other end of the income scale, tens of millions of Americans owned little or no federal income tax, especially after factoring in the effect of the refundable tax credits, such as the child and earned income credits. And in 2020, the IRS received nearly 5.3 million individual tax returns that showed no AGI and no taxable income. I think if you make below $25,000, I believe, there's no taxable income once it's adjusted. But we have all different types of taxes. And I was looking at paradigmlife.net. And they had a list of the different taxes. And I want to post that on the Money and Change site. Because believe it or not, there's air transportation taxes, biodiesel fuel taxes, building permit taxes, business registration fees, capital gains taxes, cigarette taxes, court fines. Yep, court fines are a tax. Disposable fees. Dog license taxes, driver's license fees, employer health certificates, a lot more. There's a flush tax. I don't remember hearing a flush tax. Is that when you go to the toilet and you had flush tax? I hope not. Could you imagine people with diarrhea? Oh my God, there'd be a lot of flush taxes they'd have to pay. Food and beverage license fees. Okay, garbage taxes to haul garbage, gasoline taxes, gift taxes, highway access fees, you know, toll roads, that's a tax, hunting license fees, inventory taxes, IRA early withdrawal taxes, they have all kinds of liquor taxes, local taxes. County taxes, marriage license taxes, medical taxes, or Medicare taxes, Obamacare mandate tax, parking meters. In my town, we don't have any parking meters, and that's a good thing, but some places still have them. I know in Tallahassee, Florida, probably about 20 years ago, it only cost 10 cents to park in downtown Tallahassee. 10 cents an hour. While up in Columbus, it was close to 50 to 75 cents an hour. Figure that out. How about septic permit taxes for septic systems? Service charge taxes, state corporate taxes, tanning taxes in some states. telephone federal excise tax, the alternative minimum tax, tire recycling fees, tire taxes, tolls, traffic fines, utility taxes, waste management taxes, water rights fees, well permit fees. There are over 97 taxes and fees, according to this list. 97. Are we overtaxed? We're paying less than a lot of European countries do. But what are we paying in tax? And it's going to vary all over the place, but we could pay anything from 35 to 45% tax, and the government gets the rest. And of course, with inflation, that's another story. Okay. And taxes are coming up in 2 weeks. We have the deadline that the taxes have to be in. And they also want estimated tax. I used to never have estimated tax, and now for some reason I do. I want to get away from that. Because you're just giving the government money that they go ahead and earn interest on. And they hope that you're going to pay that throughout the year. And you don't get a refund back. Now, in my case, I did get a refund. My taxes were already sent in. I did get a refund. And the money on the refund went for my estimated taxes. It just recycles. It's kind of crazy. But it's tax season. And so we have to do that. Now, this Sunday is Easter Sunday. We've got Monday, Thursday is tomorrow. Then we have Good Friday. And then on Sunday, we have Easter Sunday. Now, I said that we're not going to be doing a show Easter Sunday. It'll probably all reruns. And I just talked with Michael Bejas about this just earlier, just to confirm everything, so I would let everybody know. What are you going to do for Easter? You know, some people go to church on Easter, and maybe they've gone to the Monday, Thursday service. They've also gone to the Good Friday service. They've also gone, they'll go to the Easter service. And that's big for the Christian religion. And if you take a look at things over the years, has church attendance gone down? A lot of people are saying, yes, it has. And it was due to COVID, I think. A lot of cases, you can watch church on YouTube or Facebook, especially if you're sick and you don't want to be around other people. And that's a good move. But this is going to be the high holy days for the Christian religion. And the Jews have their own high holy days, and the same thing in Islam. Eventually they'll get into Eid, E-I-D, and that'll be coming up, I don't know, I think it's May. And so they'll have their own celebration at that point because they're on a different calendar. But I keep thinking about, what about the Easter Bunny? You know, they always say, well, the Easter Bunny lays eggs in a nest. Okay, I have not seen any bunny laying eggs, let alone in a nest. And I'm thinking, what caused that? There's strange things happening. Well, I was looking around in hilltownfamilies.org, had a thing on the Easter Bunny, and it said the Easter Bunny has its origins in pre-Christian fertility lore, and hares and rabbits serve as symbols of abundant new life in the spring season. It really is a hare, not a rabbit, that symbolizes Easter. And from antiquity, hares have been the symbol for the moon. And the first full moon after the vernal equinox determines the date of Easter. That's why Easter changes every year. And hares are born with their eyes open while rabbits are born blind. Maybe rabbits are Democrats. Well, I can say liberals. I won't blame Democrats on those, just say liberals. And the hare was thought never to blink or close its eyes, and it is a nocturnal creature like the moon. And the hare also carries its young a month before giving birth, like the changing moon erupting into fullness monthly. According to one legend, the Easter Bunny was originally a large, handsome bird belonging to the goddess Esther, which was Estre. And one day she magically changed her pet bird into a hare because the Easter Bunny is still a bird at heart. He continues to build a straw nest and fill it with eggs. Okay. But there's a lot of different things. I mean, you just don't see bunnies laying eggs. That's like the boogeyman. People say, you better behave or the boogeyman's going to get you. And you're going, boogie? Is that dancing? The boogeyman's going to get you. Oh, okay. It was really the bogeyman. And if you look at the bogeyman, it's the fake man. A lot of different things, different phrases, different people, and so forth. But anyhow, now you know the rest about the Easter bunny. Maybe it's the Easter hare and not the bunny. Well, anyhow, you're going to have fun, maybe having an Easter egg hunt. You're probably going to have a good time at church and celebrating, and that's good. And then you're also going to have a good Easter dinner. And I remember going to my grandmother's on Easter, and oh, the food. Whoa. Then later on, we just decided, well, we would go out to eat different places, and you stand in line and you wait, you wait, you wait. But Easter's just right around the corner. It's going to be Sunday. So if you don't have your Easter eggs done, if you don't have your baskets done to put the eggs in, or you didn't get the chocolate bunnies, I always liked the chocolate bunnies. It was really good. And sometimes you get the real big bunnies, and if you've been bad, you only get the little bunnies. I think I developed a diet for little bunnies, I guess. I don't know if I was a bad person or not, but anyhow. And you always got dressed up in your finest to go to church, and now you can go in blue jeans and a sweatshirt if you want to. But that's the legend and lore of the Easter icons, the Easter Bunny from hilltownfamilies.org. So you want to check that out. The Wrinkle City Gazette, we have just a few minutes here, and I was looking through the latest Wrinkle City Gazette, and you can see it at Wrinkle, that's W-R-I-N-K-L-E, hyphen city, hyphen gazette, .weebly.com. And there are a lot of them there. And so you can check all that out. Anyhow, the Wrinkle City Gazette had a whole bunch of stuff. And the one thing that they had, Fowell T. Grump wrote an article, A Grump Around Town. And it showed a rabbit riding a motorbike. He's actually doing a wheelie, you know, the front wheel up in the air. And it says, our lackluster redneck city has been terrorized by rabbits on bikes, freaking out the citizens as they roar down the street, waving and throwing chocolate eggs at people on the curb. And there were pictures of that. And so Falworth Grump is complaining about that. But there are a lot of different stories in the Wrinkle City Gazette. You really need to check them out, because there was even one about hog snout pandemic hits Wrinkle City. Or the nuns with guns are checking for the whereabouts of Delbert D. Hogg, who escaped from a Florida jail. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in there. A lot of stuff in there. And, you know, the one big thing is there's a sign in there that says, support bingo, keep grandma off the streets. My grandma didn't like bingo. For some reason, she was not the bingo type. Well, anyhow, everybody, you know, I hope you have learned a little bit about the bridge and a little bit about taxes today. And go check out the Wrinkle City Gazette. Because it's a funny thing to read. It's lighthearted. And so you need to check that out. We'll have other stuff posted throughout the week and into next week. Next Wednesday will be a live show on Wednesday and for My World. And then also Money and Change. Will not be this coming Sunday, but it will be the next Sunday, and it will be live. And so with that, guys, that's all I have right now. You have a good week and a fantastic Easter. And remember the reason for it, okay? And celebrate. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit more about the eclipse. It's about to happen, and why we need to prepare. A lot of people are saying that now, to be prepared for that. Buy your food and water and any other things that you're going to need to get by for at least a week. So that's coming up. So anyhow, guys, have a good week, and we will talk with you next week. Have a great Easter. We'll see you. Bye.
That's Christ's day. Oh. Well, anyhow, we'll see you next week. Have a-